Testing, testing. Can you hear me? Okay. Hi, my name is Grace Pretty, and today I'm interviewing Shanika Mitchell Peters at the Williamson Road Branch Library in Roanoke, Virginia. Today is October 9th, 2019, and this is for Dr. Rosenthal's Public History course at Roanoke College and our Salvation Army Pathway of Hope Oral History Project. So, we know just the basics of how the Pathway of Hope program works. From your experiences, can you just kind of give us what you have seen how the Pathway program
works? I've been in Pathway of Hope program for maybe about a year and a half. It all started when I did the Angel Tree. So it started from there when I would go pick up my son's Angel Tree gifts. They had asked me to, did I want to do a, what is it called, an essay. So I told them, sure, I'll do an essay. They was like, well, if you win, you win $100, first place, then second place, and third place. So I said, okay, fine. So I went, I did my essay, and they called me, like, I guess, like, a few months later, and they was like, well, congratulations, you won. I was like, oh, yay. So they called me. I had a plaque. I took it with the lieutenant, and they gave me the $100. And basically, my essay was about, like, at first, when I first started, it was only just me and my son. So I just basically said I want to help the community. I want to have a heart for, like, helping children, because I am a teacher. So I was like, I want to have a heart for helping children, helping families, and different things like that. And also to, like, basically help my son to have a better education and future and everything. So they kind of helped me get on the right path, gave me budgeting classes, and just basically asked me what is it that I wanted to do as far as them helping me to make my life and my son's life better. So I just basically explained to them that I wanted to get my own car. I wanted to basically have other resources of education just to help my son's future become more brighter, help me with my finances, like for me to get them in order, not so much them like do stuff for me, but to tell me how to get everything in order so that my son could see that my mom has helped me along the way, because I'm a single parent. So of course they helped me, they gave me different resources to help me, like with my son, helping him get on a higher educational level, make sure he has everything he needed educational-wise, and make sure that I have everything I needed so I can keep him happy as well as give him everything he needs. So I was working with one of the instructors, and she basically, any event will come up, anything like learning-wise, anything that involved the library, anything like that, she was telling me about it. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's like they make sure, like, you stay on top of everything. So I was like, okay, that's cool. And, like, I needed that extra push. Even though I have my mom, but, I mean, you know, we always listen to our moms. But I needed, like, that extra from outside of my family box. And they were very patient. They wasn't trying to push me, but it was like, hey, I see that you feeling down, let's give you a push-up. So they really like want to help the community. So, and that's around the thing that I wanted to do. So they was like, give me different community projects that was out there to do and everything. So they really like listen. It's like not like a counselor, but kind of around like being a counselor. So they basically was like my, I don't know what to, like what you could call it, my backup. Like, okay, if I fuck about to fall, they're going to push me back up. So they help and assisted and everything. They make sure every year I knew, like, different parenting tips and tricks and everything. So I was like, oh, okay. So then I finally got pregnant with my daughter, and, like, they made sure I kept my appointments. They made sure, like, I stayed healthy. They made sure I had everything I needed. They were there for me as far as, like, if I needed anything for my daughter or my son or myself, making sure I didn't fall under the postpartum depression. Like, they would try, like, call to check and make sure, hey, are you okay? They wanted to make sure I checked in at least once or twice a week just to make sure that I'm still in uplifting spirits. So I really appreciated that. And they, like I said, they were just, they were awesome. They also, like, when it comes to trying to help families, it's not like they're trying to enable them. They're trying to make sure they still can do stuff on their own and them not being a crutch. So I was like, oh, okay, that, like, I like that. I like, what is it, positive feedback, as well as, like, you can tell me direct criticism. Like, tell me if I'm doing something wrong and I will accept it. And they were welcoming on that, as well as watching and making sure that, like, my feelings wasn't going to get involved. But they helped a lot. So, I mean, I'm upset that I'm leaving them, but they're pretty good. They're great, and they both, actually all of them were great with my son and with my daughter. So, I would recommend them to just about anybody.
So you touched on how you learned about it and what brought you to it. Mm-hmm. So, in the beginning, what was it like? Just, you know, them being there now, and just what was life like?
My life was pretty, it was pretty good. Like, it was good because I have a good head on my shoulders and everything. It was just basically them raising me higher, like at a higher standard, because I was like basically borderline, just like, okay, let me do the bare minimum. So they helped me to be like, do more than the bare minimum. Like, let's take you a little bit higher. Let's put you out there, like, step out on your faith instead of just thinking, oh, I can't do it. Just let's, come on, let's try. And if you can't, then we can, like, adjust and see where we can push you back again. So they wouldn't basically let me give up. So I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. So now it's like, I'm out there like, hey, I'm going to try this. I'm about to try this and I'm about to try that. And it, I mean, it's because, like, they were right there to push and make sure that I stayed stable. So I was like, oh, okay. So now I feel like I can just basically conquer the world.
So with your children, well, your son and your little baby, how has the program really helped them and, like, assisting you with them? And
A situation happened with my son where he got bruised by his teacher. And, of course, I went to my worker and I talked to her about it. So It was a whole situation that I had to go through with trying to get him to a new school and transportation and everything. So she basically went out to make sure I had all the resources that I needed. Like, it, so the system wouldn't basically push me and my son down. So she made sure I had, like, resources of how to have transportation for my son. And if they could, made sure, like, I talked to the right people about him getting bruised. And different things like that. With my daughter, they have helped me with diapers, clothing, getting her a crib, changing table, making sure that I stay on it with her getting her shots, and making sure that I'm still, like, in high hopes with them, and that I'm encouraging them, as well as trying to make sure that I'm encouraging myself.
So you mentioned your mom. Tell me more about her.
Mom's awesome. Like, I love my mom. She's awesome. Like, she's, like, my biggest supporter because, of course, we're not from here. We're from Washington, D.C. So it's just me and her down here besides my two children. So she's a huge part of my life. Before I was able to purchase my own car in July, she let me use her car, like, to for me to get to work, me to get to church, get them to their appointments, get my son to school, all that. So my mom, like, she, I don't know, like, I really can't even explain. Like, she's amazing. She's always supporting me, making sure that I know that I can do everything, anything that I can put my mind to. So she's, like, right there. And, like, anytime I have any issues or anything, she's basically there to tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Nika, you need to do this. Nika, you don't need to do that. So she's basically like, I don't know what to even say. Like, she's my best friend. And she just makes, like, and she also, she encourages me to, like, not think about what others think as far as with me being a single mom and having my two kids. So she's like, Nika, don't even worry about all that. You're doing a good job. You're providing for them. Keep going with what you're going with. And, like, she also encourages me to go back to college and finish because I stopped. And she's like, no, go back. I'll help you with whatever you need. I'll help you watch the children. Whatever you need, even if you need some you time, I'll get them. And I'm like, oh, okay. So my mom, like, she's my biggest supporter.
So you went to college?
Yes.
And then you left. Yes. Where did you go?
Virginia Western. Nice. I went for early childhood development. But, of course, I didn't continue. I only went for like a year, so my mom was like, hey, you only had one more year. What happened? I was like, I think I really got burnt out coming straight out of high school and going straight in. I think I kind of got burnt out. But she's like, right now, she's like, Nika, come on, let's go. You can do it. And I think I really got relaxed because I have my CDA, which is equivalent to associates. But she's like, no, let's push higher. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I'm planning on trying to go back in January. But I think more so I'm afraid of fractions.
So, okay. How has the Salvation Army and your mom ever, like, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to ask here. I'm formulating the question. I'll come back to that. So, you're transitioning out of the Salvation Army, going out into the world and going back to college. And how is that process going?
It's going smoothly. They actually told me ahead of time, like, okay, it's about to come to an end. And they really don't want me to go because they was like, I'm very high-spirited and they love, like, when they talk to me and different things. And but it's going smooth, and they have also told me, like, if I need anything, to still, I can contact them. Any encouragement I need, I can still talk with them. It's just the program part, the pathway of hope I'm getting out of. But as far as, like, the angel tree and everything, they said that I can basically do both of those, or do that program still until I get up to three turns, then we're done. But I think basically since last year when I first did the angel tree, with me being under the pathway of hope, it has helped me, like, budget my money more. So I can have, like, my bills paid as well as provide for my children. So, like, they taught me how to have, like, this budget for my bills and then budget for extra, like, as far as Christmas. And, like, if something was to happen, when at the time it was, like, when you get your car and everything. And they, with me doing the budgeting class, I was actually able to purchase my car a week before my birthday in July, which they were excited about. They were like, yes, we made a big a milestone. And I'm like, yes. So, because I didn't have a car for like 4 years. So with the budgeting classes and their encouragement, they allowed me, well, they had helped me to be able to get me my own car, which I love.
Can you tell me more about the angel tree?
The angel tree, they allow each child three times to 3 years to get assisted, like get assistance. So they'll ask me like the mandatory stuff, which is like the shoe sizes, coats, clothing if you need it. And then they'll ask for like three different items that your child really wants. So of course, over the years, I listened to my son to see what he wants. And I went and basically did it, and they was like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. So last Christmas when I got his items, like, it was right on point, like what he needed. So this year they gave me the opportunity to come ahead of the crowd and do for my son and my daughter. And even like when he was sitting there playing, they was also attentive to, like, listening to him as he was playing with his toys. He wasn't too much talking to me, but he was playing with his toys. And they was, like, this year they was like, well, do you think he'll like Legos? I was like, sure, yes, how do you know? And they was like, we could tell he's very hands-on. And, like, unless you're really paying attention to my son, you wouldn't think that he's hands-on. But he's very hands-on, and he loves books. So, They got excited because I didn't just ask for toys. I asked for learning things as well, like books and little flashcards and different things like that. So they were like, oh my gosh, yes, like, that is awesome. So, I mean, I'm like, I'm a teacher. Like, come on. So, they were like, they're very attentive, and they was watching my daughter as she was playing with my son. And they was like, oh, it seems like she liked loud things. I said, yes. So it was like they made the process easy because they were attentive and watching them as well as talking to me and trying to, like, get a fill out and ideas from me, which I like that they have variety of things. They don't have, like, oh, you can't get this, you can't get that. And they more so want a child to have things that they're going to learn and play with instead of, like, video games and just them sitting there watching a TV all day, which I like that as well.
So you get involved with other activities throughout the community. Can you tell me some about those?
I help with, like, if they have, what is it, the book bag drive, I'll go and, like, try to assist if they need my assistance. Or I'll ask, like, hey, do y'all need anything? Or when they have the, activity, like, for my son's age, they'll invite me to come. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. So I'll go and, like, just basically overlook and see what's going on there, what I need to, like, do my input on, or if I just need to not say anything. Like, different activities, like, I'll bring to them, hey, y'all should try this or try that. Or if they have a coat drive or need, I know I did when they needed clothes, I took bags of clothes, like, for the needy families and different things like that.
So you moved here from Washington, D.C.
Yes.
What was that transition like from Washington to here?
Oh, it's boring. Well, I moved here when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think I was about 10. So the transition, it was kind of hard for me because I was leaving all my family. And it's not, as I said, as far as when I say boring, it's not as much to do here as it is there. Like, here, everything closes literally at 9. There, you can go to different stores and do, like, different shopping and different things like that. So the transition, it was really, really hard because I was leaving my family, which I grew up all the way up to I was 10 with my family. So that was more so the hard part. But of course, my mom and my dad, they made it, like, smooth because I came down here. Like, we visit here a few times back and forth. But my mom, like, was like, Nika, we gonna move here? And I was like, huh? So, I mean, I missed my friends. I missed my family most of all. But it was kind of a smooth transition because my mom just didn't just throw it on me. She, like, eased it in. So it was kind of smooth.
What was it like growing up in Roanoke?
I was popular. I really didn't too much do anything because I was into Barbie dolls and reading books. So I wasn't really, like, into going outside and playing. I did go outside and play, like, little bits with my cousins. Some of them would move down here. So I went outside and played with them. But as far as, like, school-wise, I got straight A's, AB Honor Roll, President Award for academics, like, all that. So I made sure I read. My mom, when I was younger, she made me, like, look at different words in the Bible, in the dictionary, and basically do definitions, like, maybe 5 words, different words each week, and do the definition, learn that way. I was great at math, still am. I did spelling contests, I played basketball. So basically I was very athletic. I was the only girl on my all-boys team. So I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. But I stayed very active. So I wasn't just like just sitting around the house. I still did other things as well as family vacations and different things like that.
So. Looking back at the past year, year and a half, what is something you would tell yourself then, now?
You keep pushing and move forward and try to get your education and basically think more highly of yourself and just encouraging myself, like, I can do it. Like, don't give up. You can do this. And just pushing myself forward to become more successful.
People in the community, would you recommend going to the Salvation Army for that extra push, that backup support?
Yes, yeah. I very much would.
So, your son, did he get his love for reading from you? Yeah, tell me some about that.
Like, my son, at first he didn't like to read because he can hear that he had a small list. I couldn't hear it, but his doctor discovered he had a small list. So he liked to look at books, but he wouldn't too much read out loud. So he, like, at 2 years old, had a whole big bookshelf full of books that he would look at, and I'll hear him in his room, but when I would come around, he wouldn't too much, like, say anything. But he loved to talk. But when it came to, like, structured talking, he wouldn't too much say anything. But I kept encouraging him, of course, and, like, helping him to read different books. And, of course, he was like, looking at me like, mommy, do I have to? But I just like basically kept encouraging. So basically I finally went to his doctor, and that's his doctor. So his doctor, I love her. She basically encouraged him as well to read like a small little book. And she noticed, she was like, I have to talk to you. And I was like, okay. So she like, he went out in the hallway with my mom, and she was like, he has a slight lisp. She said, unless you know what to look for, you wouldn't even know he has it. She said, but he can hear it, even if you can't hear it. She said, so that's what's making him shy to read. So we got him involved in speech therapy, and she's helping him. She said, like, his lisp is very, very shallow, but when it comes to you hearing yourself, you can hear it more so than the person that's listening. So she said that's why he was shy to read out loud to, like, his class or to other people. So once he started doing speech therapy and me, like, being very patient with him and helping him to say his words properly, then now he actually just got called at his school for being one of the best readers, the top readers. So I was like, yes, and it basically boosted his confidence more. So now he has this book now. It's called Dog Man and Cat Boy, and he loves that book. So now he's like, mommy, I want this, I want that. I'm like, okay. So it basically helped him, as well as my mom was like, Nika, we just got to figure out what we can do and everything. So now I tell him, I'm like, well, let's read to your sister. So with that, like, with his doctor saying, with me doing that, is going to boost him up more because his sister's on, as he see it, his level. It's not like an adult or his peers and his friends. It's his sister. And she said, well, family members, children have a thing of, they know that their family members not going to judge them, but their friends will. So they was like to boost it up, let him continuously to read to his sister. So he'll be like, okay, let's read a book, and she'll just sit there and smile at him and smack the book and everything. But he'll read to her and he'll say the words right, and now he's not afraid to ask me, mommy, is this word, what is this word, or what is that word, or to sound it out. So like he's gotten like, when I mean 1,000 times better, it's like 1,000 times better. With having the confidence to read. So he does, he's great now with reading.
So the Salvation Army has different programs throughout the week, correct?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on this?
A lot of programs I couldn't go to because of my work schedule, and because I am the lead teacher of the classroom, they was like, you're not getting off, you gotta be in the classroom. I'm like, okay. But they have different programs, like they have paint night, they have Lego, I think it's like some type of Lego, it's not Lego night, but it's like the kids can build stuff with Legos. They've had where they'll tell the parents about when they have a different skate, like what is it, Vinton, or I don't think Star City too much, but the Vinton skate ring, Firehouse the skate ring, they'll let me know, hey, this event's going on, we have the free tickets, come pick them up, how many do you need? Like, as far as they try to make it like a family get together, so you can also be with your family, but introduce yourself to other families and everything. They have the bowling nights where, I think it's the bowling alley on Williamson Road, that they say, hey, we're about to get free bowling, free shoes, rental, everything. And they ask how many you need. They do the circus. It was another event. It was a concert, a Christian concert. They asked me, did I want to do that? And I was like, sure. And that had other families as well. So we got to do that. Like, it's so many different activities that, like, they're like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then they have, like, the parents' night where the children will go and they'll be amongst their friends or peers or, like, new friends that they can meet while they have, like, little talks and snacks with the parents. They have parenting classes, where they'll watch your children and then they'll have the parents to do the parenting classes. Like, it's so many classes and activities, it's not funny. But they keep you involved and not just sitting at home not doing anything. And they keep you, like, involved with as well as your children, so your children won't fall short of not having that love and, like, caring and everything.
What friends and people have you met throughout all the different programs that you've been to?
I've met 3 people. Yes, because I mean, I like to help the community, but I don't know how you could say it. I like helping others, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm like standoffish. So I'm weird, I know. But like, as far as like when it comes to people, I help whoever, but at the same time I'm like, okay, all right. But I've met three families, and they're pretty cool. And my son, he plays with one of the family's daughter, so it's pretty awesome. And we actually found out that one of the families, they play upward basketball with my son. So I get to still see them when basketball season comes around, and he still gets to interact and play with them and see them.
What really developed your passion for teaching?
Oh, that's easy. So I love kids. Like, children, that's my thing. I like to see them, how they them having their own personality, how they develop, how they learn. And I want to be the one to assist them with getting their life, like encouraging them and being successful. So I'd rather start like when they're younger, because most people, they try to help the older kids and the younger ones fall short. because some people don't have the patience to deal with the younger ones. So I'm like, hey, I'll be the one that deal with them. So I teach them basically anything you can think of, like how to self-help, self-soothe, help them with learning, anything. Like if they, if I see a child put their hair down, I know it's something that they feel that they're not going to be successful at. So I'm like, okay, let me figure that out and basically boost their confidence. So, I teach them as many languages that I know. So they won't feel that they're just basically secluded with this one box. I help them to explore. I'm like, you can step outside the box. Let's go outside the box. So I helped them with that. And the main thing is like having the patience and making sure that they stay on track and them knowing that they can do it, encouraging them. So I love just watching their faces, how they glow when they do anything. And even if they do it wrong, let them know it's okay that you can do wrong. And just basically helping them be okay with themselves, not think, oh, I did this wrong, let me back up. But let them know it's okay to do wrong, but you can learn from your wrong. Maybe your wrong might make a new right. So it's like, let's try this out. Don't be stuck in this bubble like you can't do other things. So, with children, they're like glue. Anything you do, it sticks to them. So it's like, I want to basically help them basically broaden their mind instead of being so small and don't know it. Like, I can't do this. I can't do this. You can. You can do anything that you put your mind to. So basically children, that's, I love them.
How have you used your skills that you've developed in the classroom, outside the classroom?
I know one time, I can give an example. I was at a grocery store, and this mom could not figure out why her child was shutting down on her. And she tried everything. She was like, hey, I'll give you candy. I'll do this. I'll do. And she couldn't figure it out. Well, I asked her, do you mind if I try? I was like, I'm a teacher. I'm not, weird. And she was like, sure. So I was like, what's going on? Like, you can tell me what's going on. I won't think of you any less. Just let me know what's going on. And it was something as small as he didn't know how to tie his shoe. And other kids tease him for not knowing how to tie his shoe. And, the mom was like, he never talks to people. Like, what is going on? And I was just like, it's okay. You can learn any kind of way you want. You don't have to learn just like your friends. You can learn any way that you want. And he was like, okay. And, he got excited. I was like, Mom, I can do it. I can learn any kind of way. And she was like, okay. So I just basically told her, go on YouTube. It's different things that how techniques he can learn. He don't have to just learn two bunny ears and you tie. It's a whole bunch of different techniques. I said, and if he doesn't figure that out, then do a different one. Keep trying and having patience with him until he figure out one that he can use. And I just told her, I was like, just let him know that he has a voice. Even though other people are telling him, you can't do this, you can't. Let him know he has a voice and he can have other ideas. He don't have to go with the flow of everybody else. And she was like, oh, thank you so much. Well, I think it was a year later I saw him. And every time he sees me, he's like, hey. And he hugs me every time he sees me. And she was like, oh, my gosh. She was like, you help. And all he talks about is you and how he can do anything. I was like, oh, well, thanks.
So you mentioned Upwards, and you've mentioned the Backpack Program and the Christian Concert. Are mm-hmm. you a Christian?
Yes.
You are?
Yes, ma'am.
How, bless you.
Thank you.
How has church and, your religion helped you throughout your time?
I just know, as far as my church, they teach having faith and everything. Excuse me. They teach basically through anything, no matter if you feel that you failed or anything, just make sure you have the faith of God and always call on Jesus no matter what. So I'm teaching basically my son the same thing, and when my daughter understands, I teach her the same thing. But I basically lean more so on my religion, on being a Christian, because I'm like, if anything, I need help. So my pastor, she's great with teaching us, no matter what's going on, make sure you still pray. You, even though you might feel at your lowest, still have faith, because at the end of the day, God helps with whatever it is that you need. So I take heed in that. And even when I feel like sad or anything, I go and I talk and I pray to God. And then like later, I feel more uplifting. So this whole process, this whole process is like, I stay consistent as far as talking with my pastor and praying and make sure everything is like going like it's supposed to be. So being a Christian is pretty, it's pretty cool. Like, cause I know at the end of the day, God has my back and Jesus is watching over me, and I have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me.
Going back to your mom, how has she inspired you to grow into this very strong woman that you are today?
My mom is very strong. Like, she's very strong in how her faith as well. So she encourages me and she prays for me like constantly. Or she'll, if she sees that I feel a little bit stressed, she'll like, Nika, let's pray. And of course we'll pray and everything. And she's like, it's not as bad as you think. Or it's not going to go down this path. Let's think more positive towards this way. And like my mom, anything that my mom has ever went through, she's came out of. And I believe it's because of her praying and getting through it. Like right now, my mom, she's dealing with her sciatic nerve. And she, me watching her keep pushing through, even though like she will be hurting and everything, she still pushes through to make sure that I'm okay and make sure that my son's okay. Like my mom, she's a pusher and she is very strong. So she's like, Nika, no matter what goes on, just basically stay strong, smile, keep the faith. And my mom, her main thing is to smile. She's like, if you smile, all darkness will just basically shatter. So she's like, just keep smiling, just keep thinking positive. And if you need me, if you ever think that, oh, something's gonna go wrong, she said, no, think about what will go right. So she's, no matter like basically what we have gone through, as far as like the move here, like me going through different relationships, she's always like, Nika, you're gonna get through it, you can do it. And she's like, just stay strong through everything, because nothing in life, like as far as what you deal with years ago, will you probably forget about it in the future and be like, oh, that happened? So she was like, don't let one situation just bring you down. You'll have other experiences, other lessons to learn, other things to get through. So I'm like, oh, okay.
So your mom helping you through your relationships, do you want to talk about that some more?
I just had a few relationships that they was a hot mess. They basically, I was the positive one in the relationships and they were always negative. So my mom was like, Nika, you need to like leave out of that, because any positive I would bring, they would try to bring negative and push my positive down. So it would like push me down, like, well, shoot, okay, maybe I shouldn't think positive. And my mom was like, no, always think positive. Even if something bad's happened, still think positive. And she's like, Nika, just, you, if that situation's not working, that's not the only relationship you'll ever have. So I was like, okay. So of course I was like, well, fine. So with my mom, she's like kind of, she hasn't been in a relationship. Like, my stepdad got a divorce, and basically me seeing how she can still, like, basically move and get through stuff, I'm like, well, okay, that's fine if I don't have a relationship. And she's always telling me, wait for the right person to come. She was like, don't just settle. Wait for the right person to come. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, when the right person comes, they will see that your positive will boost them up instead of them trying to push you down. And I was like, well, all right. Well, that makes sense. So I was in 2 bad relationships where they wanted to just push me down. Nobody ever hit me, no. But they wanted to, like, push down my high spirits. They was like, no, well, this is going to go wrong. Well, no, don't think positive about that. That's going to go wrong. So I was just like, you know what? Run for the hills. And I did. So basically, I've been basically single for 8 years. And it really doesn't bother me. I mean, I see people, I'm like, hey, but it really doesn't too much bother me because I'm like, I'm going on what my mom's saying, like, the right one is going to come. So I'm like, it's going to happen. I'm not really, like, trying to be like, I got to find it. And my mom's always like, the right man will find you. And I'm like, okay. So I'm pretty good and secure.
Has your mom's influence, like, impacted your children in any way? Like, have you seen her personality in them? You're like, whoa.
Yes. Yes. Like, my son, it's so much that my son does like my mom. It's not even funny. Like, he talks like my mom. Because my mom, she says every syllable. And he does that. And I'm like, because, like, her S's carries. And his does the same thing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And, like, with my daughter, she's very loving. Like, my mom, she'll give a hug in a minute. She'll try to encourage anybody. And, like, if I'm getting her, I'm like, no, because she's only 8 months. So I go, no. She goes, so I'm like, okay, you want a hug? Okay, come on. And my mom, she goes, she suckered you in. I said, well, you do the same thing. So it's like, basically, different pieces of my mom's personality is in, like, different one of my children, each one of my children. So I'm like, oh, you act like your grandma right now. But, like, they one thing they did get is her positive attitude. And they're always smiling. Like, always smiling. So I'm like, even when I feel like I want, like, to be left alone, it's like they pick up on it, and then they'll come in, oh, I love you, mommy, with my son. And then my daughter, she just go, ma. And then I get her, and she's hugging and kissing on me. So it's like my mom has that, it's called a discerning spirit, and she can pick up on anything, like literally. And I'm like, man. So my son is the exact same way. Like, I can smile. I can act like everything's okay, even if I'm stressing about something at work. I can smile. He goes, mommy, how was work today? And I'm like, how did you know? What is going on? This is so weird. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. He goes, no, you're not. You're sad. And I'm like, what? How do you know these things? And then the next thing I know, my mom's texting me, well, how was work? And I'm like, wait a minute. Do you have a camera in my house? And she's like, why? I'm like, why? What's going on? She was like, I don't know. You just seem off. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I was smiling. She's like, and I'm your mom. I can read through that. And I was like, oh, okay. But, like, I was like, well, my son asked the same thing. She was like, well, you know, he's his grandmother's child. I was like, haha. But, like, her strength as well has impacted both of them. Like, my daughter can fall and hit her head, and she will not cry. And I'm like, what in the world? But, like, she just go like this, and she's good. And I'm like, she got that from my mom, which same with me, because I got it from my mom. So I'm like, oh, you got that from your grandma. And, like, with my son, I'm like, he'll do something. And he goes, but it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And, like, he's more, like, positive. Even if he had an F on his test. And he was like, oh, my gosh, but it's going to be okay. I'm going to do better. I'm going to bring it up. So, and it's like my mom does the same thing with him. She's like, it's all right. You can always bring it up. It's just one test. Let's just keep going forward. And he thinks like that now. Because also, I do the same thing. So, it's like if you see my children and me and my mom's not around, you'll be like, they got, like, some positive people around them. Because anything that happens, they're like, okay, it's going to be okay. And they'll keep going forward.
So growing up, she was always just super positive, like smiling.
Yes.
Very strong.
Yes.
Well, tell me about your teenage years and, like, growing up with your mom. And
oh, those was cool. cool. Like, I never really got in trouble. My mom, like, she'll sit down and she like, Nika, like, she's very, like, one of those open moms. Like, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. You can talk to me. So anything that I ever went through, good, bad, exciting, anything, I can go to her. And I can basically be like, Mom, this is what's going on. And she'll, like, see my point of view.
Bless you.
Thank you. She'll see my point of view, and she'll be like, okay, well, Nika, this is what you might need to do. Or, okay, Nika, let's add this into it. So my mom, like, she encouraged me when I told her I wanted to play basketball. She was like, okay. So after, like, maybe 3 years of doing basketball, she became a basketball coach. Like, she was like, well, I want to try, too. So she's asked me, like, Nika, do you think I can do this? Or I think I can do this. What you think? So we basically complimented each other and made sure, like, yeah, Mom, you can do that. You should try it. So she basically would encourage me the whole time. Like, if I didn't want to do something, she like, Nika, you can do it. So I had told her, I was like, well, Mom, I want to cheerlead. And she was like, after basketball? What in the world? She was like, okay, well, you can try it. And then I tried it. She was like, you don't like us. So, like, anything that I would say, Mom, I want to do, she's like, okay, go for it. Don't sit and let nothing hinder you. Go for it. Just try it out. There's nothing wrong with trying. And, like, if I wanted something, she's always like, Nika, it's no harm in asking. It's best to get a no, or you think you're going to get a no, but you might actually get a yes. So just ask. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, she encouraged me to, like, work. Like, once I got my job, my first job, she was like, well, how are you liking it? Like, she was always, like, there. And then, like, if I had issues with my job, she's like, well, it's up to you. Like, whatever you want to do, don't just stick to one thing. If you want to do something else, try it. So, including, like, when I was, I started at 11 helping her, she did her own in-home daycare. So I was like, oh, well, that looks fun. And she's like, if you want to help, you can. So she never really let me, like, say I couldn't do anything. She's like, just go for it. Just try it. It's no harm in trying. So I was like, oh, okay. So we basically was, best friends even when during my teenage years.
So going throughout the program, what was her encouragement like then?
She still was encouraging. She was like, well, if there's anything that you don't think I can help you with, you can ask them. She was like, or if you think my point of view might be too strong, ask them. Like, she's like, you can ask other people. You don't have to just be confided in asking me. She was like, and like, sometimes even though I might tell you a point of view, you might not see it because I'm your mom. And your thing is, well, Mom is going to tell me this, and the other. She said, so you can ask for a second or third or fourth opinion. You don't have to just stay with talking to me. But always know, I'm going to be here whenever you need me or anything like that. So she was like, if you want to do it, you can do it. And even when I was doing my essay, she was like, you know how to write. Go for it. And after I read it, she was like, well, goodness, girl, I didn't know you know how to write like that. So my mom, like, she was very encouraging and, like, telling me, like, if I need any advice or anything, to just come to her. But she's like, but you're grown. Just do whatever it is that you want to do. And if you fall, I'm here to pick you back up.
Your essay, what was it about?
It was about basically me helping children, helping the community, helping families, me being a teacher, as well as making sure my children, well, at the time, it's just my son, was on the educational level that he needed to be on or higher. Make sure I stay, like, encouraging and positive. It was, like, about my mom helping me with allowing me to use her car, or she would take me places. She always encouraged wherever she could help, she was going to help. It was also about basically me being a teacher. Me wanting to move forward, get my own car, then soon to be a homeowner, and different things like that, but to mainly make sure that my children had stability and had that success level, and making sure that they can do whatever it is that they can put their mind to, as well as me making sure that other children in the community know that they can make it. And being a single parent is not as hard as people make it seems, that single moms can do whatever it is that they want to do.
Out of all the community service and work that you've done throughout your life and in the community, what is your most memorable experience?
I'm trying to think. I have a lot of them.
We'll share them all if you want.
My most memorable, I think it'll be when I had our church had this event that we had did, and I had basically asked my church family, because I know we had to do a coat and hat drive and glove drive, and I went, and I normally I don't like talking in front of people, but I still went at my church and I talked in front of them, asking them could they help with the coat and help hat drive and everything. So they assisted, as well as me doing like my son's old coats, because I mean, like, I'm a mom that you gotta keep stuff nice. So I just washed up his coats, and I took the coats and hats to, it was a drive that was going on in the community, and I took all the coats, the hats, box of clothing, everything to, what is it called? It's a shelter. I can't think of the name of the shelter, but we took them there, and just looking at how, like, the families went through the stuff and they were like smiling and excited. So I'm like, I got to help them. Like, this is what life is about. Basically, like, putting smiles on other people's faces. So I just basically took the stuff there and they were like smiling, happy, as well as we was having this, what is it called? It was basically like a drive at my job. And I got all my son's shoes, his clothes, and everything, and I took it to my job and basically let the people just get whatever they wanted, and they did. And they were like, I don't know who did this. Thank you, because I always tell people I want to be anonymous. Like, I'd rather them see that what's going on than to say, oh, well, thank you. No, it's just a helping hand, and it's just to help you get through whatever it is that you need help with. So basically, my most memorable is basically giving donations to the families that are in need, and basically just giving them like the leg up, like, hey, even though you might not have the money, it's somebody else that will help you out and give you what you need at that time. So I think it's just basically giving like things that I don't need or use to needy families.
So, in the program, going through it, do you set tiny goals to get to this checkpoint and to this checkpoint to kind of work your way up?
Yes. My first goal was to make sure that I had my finances stable. So, when I did the financial class, the budgeting class, which that was my first goal, to make sure that I stayed steady instead of just saying, hey, I got money, let's go. So they helped me to like, okay, stay focused. So I made a plan, and I basically executed my plan of get what you need, not everything that you want. Like, you can take a little bit of money and get splurge and get something, but don't just go splurge and then you sit there like, oh man, I need this, or oh man, I need this. So I basically executed that, as well as made sure, like, with my finances that I fixed my credit and get like little things off of there, which everybody has hospital bills, but like get little things like that off to make sure that the bigger picture was me getting my car. So I basically executed the small part of basically making sure I get my finances in order. Then my next step was making sure I take care of my debt. Then after that, it was like, okay, well, let's save the money. Then it was like higher and higher until I can actually go and purchase a car. And then, like, as far as, like, with my children, making sure they have what they need, everything they need first, which is basically a shelter over their head. They need lights, water, different things like that. Then go into, like, the clothes and the food. And then, like, get higher and higher to be able to, if we go in the store and my son say, hey, Mom, can I get that? I can be like, sure, go ahead. So it's not like I can be like, well, we don't have money for that. We don't have. So it was like starting small, because basically everything we do revolves around money. So I had to make sure my finances was good and stable before I can go like any higher. Just be like, hey, I can do this, whatever. So basically I made sure that I had a solid foundation with my finances before anything else can stack up.
You told us what you would say to yourself going into the program. What would you say to other women that were in the same situation you are, where you were going in?
I'll tell them, like, there are other people out here that can help. Because it's at a certain point, people think, well, if I ask for help, I'll be begging. And I'll tell them, like, if you, like, you can get assistance. You don't have to beg, but you can get assistance. Don't, like, be ashamed not to want to get assistance or help. Even if, because some people say, oh, well, people that get assistance, they put them in this category. No, you can get assistance to help you to basically blossom up. And you don't have to stay on that assistance, but just get the small, start off small and get a little bit of assistance and then grow out to where you can do it by yourself.
Well, thank you for coming here and interviewing with us. And we really appreciate you telling your story.
Oh, thank you.
And letting us listen to your story. It was so cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.